Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, if you were with us yesterday on Abounding Grace, you know we've been studying this great passage in John chapter 3 where Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And we looked at this yesterday. The great danger today is that many people are trusting in the fact that they've said a sinner's prayer or walked forward to a cross or done this as the reason for their new birth. And Jesus was ridding Nicodemus of this kind of thinking. If it came down to Nicodemus, what he needed to do, he would have been the first to try to do it. He was a sincere guy. But Jesus was saying something totally different. Unless you are born from above, you will not see the kingdom. The reason is that Nicodemus was totally dead in trespasses and sins, just like you and I, by nature, are totally dead in trespasses and sins. And so we never have the ability. We never have the ability, if we're dead, to turn to the Lord in true repentance and faith without first the Lord changing the heart. And that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. A spiritual rebirth needs to come first as a work from God so that you can respond to believing me. And Jesus had all these people coming to him that wouldn't believe. Why? Because their hearts were dead. So we looked at yesterday, regeneration is a work of Christ whereby through his Spirit, he changes the heart into a new heart. In the act of what we call conversion, which is repentance and faith, the fruits of that, the things we come to realize in our lives, are always preceded by regeneration. Regeneration always precedes faith so that the glory would be to God, that it would be his sovereign working in our heart as he changed the dead heart of a sinner and makes it alive. And the reason that's so beautiful and exciting is because it makes the entirety of our salvation a gift from God in his sovereign hand. Why a Christian would fight against that, I have no idea, other than they just want to say, salvation is my choice. It's my ability. It's my power. Well, it is a choice, I guess, to believe in Christ if the heart has changed. But at the end of the day, you have no choice as a dead sinner to turn from your sins because of the fact that in Adam, all of us have become spiritually discerned. Proud man always likes to make salvation their own work, but Jesus is clear. The new birth is a work of God alone. So yesterday we left off with that. What then, how do you know? Well, it has everything to do with a changed heart. When someone is born again, they have been what we call regenerated. It's an instantaneous act of God whereby he plants in the dead sinner new life. And so what happens from that time on is that his affections of the heart change. And this new principle will evidence itself in a life of genuine faith and repentance, turning from sin. That's why that's at the root of what Paul said. We can't go on sinning so that grace may abound because a new life's in us. The new birth will produce a conversion and the fruits of it will become a reality, a desire to do the will of God, to be obedient to his word, to love his law, to cherish him in his holiness, to honor him in what we say and do, to desire a close fellowship and intimate communion with our Maker. The person who has been regenerated will bring forth these fruits, and the fruits are he now fights against his sin. Ironically, let me say that if you're growing in sanctification, the real irony is that often you see yourself as worse today than 10 years ago, and that makes you often question whether you are even a Christian. But that's the evidence of sanctification, because after you've been regenerated and now justified, this life of sanctification flows forth, you're seeing your sin all the more. And as that becomes clear, you're fighting against it. And it's miserable, you know, to live apart from his will. And so this new life, is the new principle of life, is characteristic in you. Once before generation, you of course loved the things of this world. You loved drunkenness, you loved parties, you loved sexual immorality, you loved to be satisfied with the vanities of this life, the cravings of your flesh. But now, because of God's work of regeneration and the new birth, you believe, you are constantly attempting to set your minds on what? Things above. Where 1 John says the believer cannot sin means that a true Christian cannot continue living in the path of sin. Will he sin? Sure. But he can't live in it. What fruits flow from this implantation of a new spiritual life? Beautiful fruits. When someone has been regenerated, their past sinful ways become ashamed and repulsive. It's no wonder Jesus speaks of its necessity. It's quite possible, we must say, of course, looking at this account with Nicodemus, to be quite religious without being born again. It's quite possible to be a Pharisee with a lot of answers without a changed heart. Jesus was making this clear to one who was quite religious, how we need this new birth. Interesting in verse 4 that Nicodemus doesn't get it. He says, how can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asks, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born again, to be born. Fascinating dialogue in these verses. Nicodemus thinks only of physical rebirth, but the narrator clearly shows us that Jesus has another birth in mind. Interestingly, what Nicodemus does realize, which I would hope that most evangelical Christians would realize today, is that Jesus is asserting something that Nicodemus realizes he cannot do himself. That is why a book entitled How to Be Born Again is as foolish as asking, how can I get born the first time? In verse 5, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, what does it mean one is born of water and the Spirit? Is this water baptism? Is Jesus saying you must be baptized to be saved? Of course not. To understand it, we have to understand Jesus is emphasizing Nicodemus. There must be a dying of the past and an implanting of a new life. Everything we've been saying. And so Jesus describes what this new birth is by speaking of being born of water and the Spirit. Nicodemus would have understood well what this meant. As a Pharisee, he would have known Ezekiel 36:25, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Notice there, water and spirit. Isaiah 44:3 says the same thing. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and the floods on the dry ground, and I will pour my spirit on your descendants. You hear how water comes first for purification and the spirit for a changed heart. But they go together, and this is something that God does. This is exactly what Jesus was referring to. Titus 3 verse 5 says, but according to his mercy, he has saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. There you have it. How that must have offended the Pharisees. Washing with water were for the Gentiles. That's what they would do when Gentiles convert to Judaism. But for us? You see, my friends, Jesus is telling Nicodemus and every man on earth, unless you are washed through regeneration, and unless there is implanted my spirit into your heart, one cannot enter my kingdom. That's the message. So how should that make us respond, knowing if you are a believer today in this gospel, you've been washed of water and the Spirit? Well, let the truth be told that according to his mercy, he has saved you, washing through regeneration and renewing through his Spirit. The washing of regeneration and the giving of the Holy Spirit comes before one can ever express saving faith. That entire passage gloriously tells us of the sovereignty of God in our salvation. And if you struggle with that, Jesus makes it all the more clear in verse 6, where he says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You hear what he's saying? Don't marvel. I said this thing that is very hard for you to understand. The Spirit sovereignly does this to whom he will. the wind. How many of you know where the wind comes from and where it's going? And you hear the sound of it, but you don't know. He makes that analogy to the work of the Spirit. You don't have control of it. He says, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so Jesus says, don't be surprised. Nicodemus must have been confused as he understands salvation by his own works. And here comes the Messiah telling him it's a gift that cannot be earned. He's not saying, do all you can to get born again, as we hear today. Be born again and you will be saved. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, you must be born from above and do not be surprised. Everyone needs it. This wouldn't have shocked Nicodemus if he had understood his sin. But Jesus is showing Nicodemus that because of his depravity, he needs sheer and pure grace. The wind blows where it wishes, and we hear the sound of it, and do not know where it comes from. So is everyone to whom God regenerates by his Spirit. It belongs completely to him. Does that make you marvel at the grace of God today? Are you in awe of what Christ has done? We can't look into hearts to know if everyone, of course, is born again. But your only comfort is that he can do it. It doesn't matter how bad you are, how bad you've been in the past, what sort of sins you've committed. He has the power to change your heart and give you a new birth. The call is always repent and believe. Turn to Jesus, come to him. That is sincere. But may we who have come to believe give all the glory to God, for we now know that it was only possible by his regenerating mercy and his wonderful grace in our lives through his Holy Spirit. And by this grace, we will stand before him in Christ's righteousness on that last day, because those who are in Christ have been born again.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in his Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.